Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. 10:30 a.m. Monday, April 8th. 2019, 60 degrees and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York. Had a great weekend. Hope you did as well. It's been anticlimactic for me the last week or so. I have accomplished quite a bit that I've been attempting to accomplish. One more major project. Well, I have a couple of major projects. I don't want to say one more major project, but one more hump. Let me put it that way. That I have to surmount, then I'm praying to Almighty God that is downhill from, excuse me, from there. Wasn't a lot of sports on this week. Well, it was some college and NBA basketball, which I don't quite watch. I don't watch a lot of NBA basketball, and certainly not college level. You know, March Madness is basically over, but still a game. Here or there. I do watch soccer, however, but I was unable to focus simply because, like I said, I have this other hill I have to surmount, and once I do that, I should be on a downward trajectory to where I want to be, God willing. National Action Network, I'm not a member of this organization, supposed to be a civil rights organization headed up by Alfred Sharpton, held this national convention in Brooklyn, Times Square, Sheraton. I haven't gotten any feedback, but everyone in who is anyone in politics and, you know, even entertainment and certainly the civil rights and human rights movement throughout the country. Many were in attendance, and I was actually going to go. I had plans to go, and it really wasn't anything stopping me. I just opted at the last minute not to. I think I have climate affective disorder. If it's not sunny outside, I find an excuse to stay inside, and I really need to get out because I need to exercise, one, and two, I have some work to do, I told you, on my house on the eastern shore of Maryland, so I really had no excuse not to go, you know, park my car on the southern side of the Hudson River and take the PATH train into Times Square and see what was going on. You know, by way of excuse, the reason that I probably didn't go is, one, I didn't want to put a lot of mileage on my GTO because my Suburban was in the shop. The air compressor, for some reason, in the last few years has been going on a fritz, and the system may or may not be contaminated, and shards are getting in there and ruining the compressor. So I had, I believe this is the third one that I'm putting on there, or the second, rather. Since the first, the original one failed, and then we put a replacement on, which subsequently failed a year after its installation, and this is the so this will be the second one. And that vehicle I use for long distance. I mean, it's set up for, you know, two AGM batteries. I mean, it's really set up for, you know, for traveling. And New York from. You know, not New York. I mean, you know, I park it down in Maryland. So from when I want to travel to, you know, long distances, and I'm in Maryland, I simply take the Suburban back to New York. And when I'm in New York, I don't have any of my vehicles there because there's no reason to. We're in Brooklyn, and you know, if I don't get Uber, I can simply hop on public transportation to get where I want to go. Or walk or whatever, take a bicycle. So it's extraordinarily easy to get around. the city without employing a vehicle. I have guys that I've known for 20, 30 years, and they don't have cars. Some do, some don't. But most either, you know, ride share or employ Uber or Lyft, excuse me, or public transportation. So at any rate, you know, I didn't do it, and I don't feel bad. I don't know. I'm kind of torn about this event. It's a lot of persons that, you know, go just to be seen and that sort of thing. I don't know what they accomplished. They come out with a prescription list of tasks that need to be done every year, and they say they discuss it every year, what they have accomplished. And I don't know that we see the fruit of their accomplishments. I really don't. I don't. And I know that a lot of that is driven by the fact that we have a hostile administration in office. And how he got there is still a mystery to a lot of us. And it's getting uglier, and will continue to get uglier because this administration feels that it's above the law. He's pushing the boundaries of the executive in terms of the authority invested in the executive, which is Article 2 of the United States Constitution. And he is cynically assuming that the court is going to, or, you know, Article 3, third branch of the judiciary is going to back him up. I don't quite share his optimism, however, and I don't believe that the judiciary is going to, if it even goes that far. Like, the two issues now are the full unexpurgated copy of the Mueller report, which, and I believe, putting on my lawyer hat, they're saying a lot of lawyers are coming out and saying, well, no one has a right to secret grand jury testimony. Well, I think that argument is subsumed by the fact that the legislative branch, they're saying it's against the law. This is the point that they're trying to make, and I believe tortuously. And I'm saying that, well, the legislative branch under Article 2 is a co-equal branch of government, and they certainly, and a lot of these people are lawyers, and they're very good lawyers, both before, during, and after their ascension to whatever, the House of Representatives or the Senate. You know, Cory Booker and obviously Kamala Harris are both attorneys. So they are cleared for this type of material, you know, and I don't believe, and I absolutely agree with the Democrats on this one. I believe that they need to see what Barr relied on in coming to this determination. You know, on a case like this, where our organization, East New York Management, knows that, want to know what we do more, can go to our website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net or www.eastnewyorkmanagement.com. And we do a lot of writing, editing, production, post-production, that sort of thing. So we pitched a show to, and I'm not going to go into who we pitched the show to, I'll just say we pitched the show to a public entity with little diversity, let me put it that way. And they rebuffed us, and they rebuffed us for the wrong reasons. So we appealed to stakeholders, you know, policymakers within the organization, and then they closed ranks. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because their objections just didn't hold water. You know, they were saying that they, you know, they're classical only station, which is not true. They host a jazz show, and all we want to do is some neo-soul, which anyone that listens to that particular genre knows neo-soul is very, very closely related to jazz. You know, it's like a chill vibe. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, but in New York, in the New York market, we used to have several really chill stations. Going back into the 70s, WRVR, and then we had another station that played smooth jazz. I believe it was somewhere on 105. I forgot the call letter, so I'm going to look it up in a second here. And and for whatever reason, it didn't take off. But it was poorly programmed. I mean, if you're going to program that type of music, you know, it really has to be properly programmed. And there are Snarky Puppy, Lindsay Webster. I mean, there are just tons and tons of artists, Roan, that are writing music for this genre. Hathaway, I mean, I can just go on and on and on. It is really, really, really good music. It really is. And, yeah, 101.9, which used to be Smooth Jazz, that station no longer exists anymore, or those stations, WRVR, and CD 109. And again, the problem was that they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They were trying to program or they were claiming to program, you know, smooth jazz, which is a genre in itself. And I used to like smooth jazz. Don't get it twisted. You know, I had a friend, you know, she was a couple of years younger than me when I was living in Detroit many, many moons ago. And her father was older, you know. I guess he had her late in life, so, you know, he doted on her. You know, she was a big girl. Very nice, though. A beautiful personality. And she used to tell me all the time that her father loved this type of music, or, you know, because in Detroit they have a smooth jazz station still going strong. You know, in my estimation, as someone that's been in broadcasting for most of my adult life, though, I believe there is a market for neo-soul, not smooth jazz. I mean, I believe that there is a market for smooth jazz, but only on one of the, you know, the digital station extensions, you know, like Sideband. They have Sideband and radio, and, you know, often in digital radio, we have these other, you know, bands, so you have additional bandwidth, and you could program smooth jazz on that additional bandwidth and not encroach on your bread and butter, whatever it is, you know, if you're programming R&B or jazz or whatever. So in this particular case, the guy just blew me off, and then, you know, policymakers in the place started circling wagons, so I don't quite know what we're going to do. I'm not going to expend a lot of energy on it. I know they're wrong. I believe we have a prima facie case of discrimination, because it's not privately owned. It's publicly owned. So I think that they're in quite a bit of trouble. I'm just trying to figure out how or what I want to do, if I want to expend that much energy fighting. And then at the end of the day, we do manage to program a show on their properties that doesn't generate any revenue. So I don't know that I want to engage in that fight, but I think I just want to make it known to them that they can't, you know, they simply can't blow me off as if I'm a numbskull and I don't know, you know, what the law is governing, you know, access to the airwaves. So that's where we are with that. And this administration, by the way, you know, in terms of, you know, public access and that sort of thing, you know, they're trying to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which those that know anything about PBS or NPR, that's that's the foundation, the parent corporation for all these stations, and this is how they get the majority of their funding. They get it from viewers and listeners also, but for the most part, they get it from the corporation, public broadcasting, and I would say 30-40% of that budget is provided by the federal government. But when you have a fascist government like we do now, obviously they don't want divergent viewpoints. They don't want diversity or pluralism to impede what the message is, the propaganda that you hear on Fox News or those sort of outlets, you don't know, less than credible. Especially not on the news side. Fox News, excuse me, on the news side, you know, they're reputable journalists. They really are. You know, Mike Wallace and those guys, you know, Brett Shep, and, you know, those guys are reputable. However, it's the personality-driven opinion side that causes Fox News to be less than respected in the world of journalism. And this is the segment of that particular organization that has the most listeners. These people are listening to pure propaganda. You know, in Europe, a couple of countries have banned Fox. I mean, you can't even, you know, you can't get it. Well, I'm sure you can get it via internet or something like that if you have the correct subscription. I don't know if it's offered a la carte, however, but I'm sure that where there's a will, there's a way. And you know, because that's all it is. I mean, they basically spew lies or storylines that come directly from the president, his handlers, or apologists. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to cut off any dissent. And, you know, absent that, then, you know, he goes after these outlets, you know, media outlets like the New York Times, and describes them as fake news. And one of the dangers in that inherent, obviously, you know, beyond obviously, you had the situation in Paris where the guy went in there and killed a whole bunch of journalists, and then you had the situation down in Maryland in Annapolis where the guy went into more local papers and killed a whole bunch of journalists down there, is that, you know, you have these nuts on the fringe, the lunatic fringe who believe this stuff that you're spewing, and this is the danger inherent in a guy like Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker, aka Clueless Clown. He's shameless and he doesn't care how his message gets across, so long as his message gets across. He doesn't care who gets hurt. I mean, he's absolutely anti-social in that respect, you know. And people get hurt or can get hurt in those circumstances when you're doing things like that. It's really extraordinarily dangerous and irresponsible, reckless even, you know. And for, you know, well, we know that he didn't belong in the White House, but, you know, and I was on social media this weekend going back and forth with a guy, obviously, you know, the outlets or the groups that I've subscribed to are basically, you know, support my viewpoint, which is not so good either. But I do go on to Fox News and these other outlets, and I let them have it on occasion. But the point I'm trying to make is one guy gets on there and says, you know, tries to make a false equivalence as to, you know, why we're in a situation with Trump, you know, totally ignoring the fact that Trump's rise is a direct response is a backlash to the Obama presidency. It's a white lash, not even black lash, a white lash. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. And so the guy was trying to come out with some other foolish, you know, blaming the Democrats, making this false equivalence. And, you know, everybody was agreeing with me and that sort of thing. So that's where we are with that. So we don't know where we're going to go in this country, you know, how far this is going to go, because I've always suspected, I mean, I've really been thinking about this long and hard. Now, someone else wrote something, another group, yet another group that I belong to, and I absolutely agree, and I believe I've even written this, that the degree of corruption exposed by the Trump administration, the rot, it's literally the rot, you know, he's exposed rot in the system, and he's playing on it brilliantly. And he's not a brilliant guy. Goes so deep that, you know, I honestly believe, this is just me, you know, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I believe in promoting fact and that sort of thing. But it's just a hypothesis based on the evidence that has come forth so far, that the rot is so deep. You know, a lot of these congressmen, a lot of these senators, so deep in the pockets of lobbyists and foreign government that our government, just like the Brett Kavanaugh hearing, there is no way 20, 30 years ago Brett Kavanaugh's nomination would have been rammed through the Congress. It simply wouldn't have happened, not with those allegations. And it was beyond... you know, Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas had some serious allegations by Anita Hill and was found to be a liar, but they still installed him. But there were a lot of other factors involved. You know, you had a compliant Democratic Party and a part of Joe Biden, who headed up the Judiciary Committee at the time. He was Senator Joe Biden in 90 when Clarence Thomas was nominated by the first President Bush. To succeed Thurgood Marshall, which was an insult we should have never tolerated. And you had a lot of African-Americans, blacks, Negroes, what I call them, who actually supported this guy's nomination. And now they are the ones bemoaning our collective fate after this guy has been in there for 30 years and has done virtually nothing for blacks except spit in our face on every possible occasion. He hasn't given us a single bone. And so I believe that Mueller just a thought, believes that, you know, if they would have, and I believe that's why you got leaks, you know, going after Trump the way they really wanted to. I don't know if I could say really wanted to. I said there was enough evidence out there, but they tried to be fair. In other words, you know, by finding arguments on, you know, they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They wanted to find arguments on both sides of the equation, both pro and con. And in doing so, I believe that they mitigated the seriousness of what they actually discovered. But I believe that it goes deeper than that, that there would have been a wholesale unraveling of what's left of our democracy if they really had gone as deep as they could have gone. And I believe that's the same thing that the Democrats are going to quickly discover, that even among their ranks, a lot of them are so compromised, co-opted by lobbyists and foreign interests, that, you know, if all this information were to come to light, people would quickly realize that, you know, the representative democracy that we thought we have, we no longer live in. You know, we are beholden to, you know, all sorts of special interests that are antithetical to the welfare of the greater, the broader American populace. So you know, so that's where we're at. We, you know, it's really, you know, I don't know how we got here, but well, I know with the Supreme Court decision allowing unlimited corporate donations. I mean, it's just the stupidest ruling ever. You know, the Supreme Court allowing, you know, unlimited corporate donations. I mean, you, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, I, you know, I think that's the starting point, you know, for reclaiming our body politic in the United States. To get all corporate interests out, period. That's it. End of story. No private donations, nothing. Just eliminate it all. That's the starting point. And I believe that at that point, everything won't be hunky-dory, but then we'll be at a starting point where, you know, ethics and integrity and those values that we used to hold dear reign supreme, or, you know, certainly over the corruption that we see evident now. You know, that you know, admittedly, the Trump administration only took advantage of. They really did. That's why you don't see, you know, persons like myself that are like, what in the, you know, you don't see the pushback that you would expect from, you know, these guys that claim that, you know, they have so much integrity and, you know, they're holier than thou, you know, a bunch of hypocrites. So at any rate, that's where we are here in the United States of America on this Monday, April 8, 2019. This is another year, much like last year, that is really flying by. You know, we're already in the fourth month. And, you know, I just can't believe it. My girl has been going almost four. Well, yeah, it'll be 3 months yesterday. And I was thinking about her, praying, certainly, you know. And, so we are poised to figure out, you know, where the Democrats go from here. I'm hoping, however, that they are, you know, aggressive. I really do. I hope they issue subpoenas, and that failing, they start with the extraordinary writs of mandamus, you know, trying to compel the administration to produce the material that they're requesting so it can fulfill its oversight role. It'll let the administration cry, you know, harassment all they want, man. You know, they need to do oversight, or at least go through the motions of doing oversight. And I understand hypocrisy involved in both sides, but that's not the point. The point is that, you know, Trump has gone overboard, and he needs to be reined in, if not prosecuted. And, I mean, I believe that that's going to happen. I have no doubt about it. When is the question? Because, you know, this, the you know, the installing bar. And see, the other part of it is the Democrats couldn't do anything about bar getting installed. They literally do not have the Senate. So that just like, you know, your little turtle down at Kentucky, McConnell is, you know, ramrodding all these judges through these ultra-conservative hacks. You know, these guys are inept. You know, you had some of them come before the Judiciary Committee, and they couldn't describe an amendment if it smacked them in the face. It's just a stunning. You know, we're gonna go into more of this in the coming weeks. And I will keep your praise of some of the projects that we have ongoing at East New York Management. Much of it is going to be on a face page, so just keep up with the face page. We should have announcements of what we're doing, where we're going, and, you know, the projects that we're doing. We have a projects page, so also visit the projects page. And, have a great week.